The first Bible reading this morning is John 13, verse 31 to 35. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this, all people will know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The second Bible reading this morning is from 1 John chapter 2. Verse 7 to 11. "Beloved, I am writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness, and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." Here ends this morning's reading.
Well, it's really been a few weeks since we were here in the Book of 1 John. Had a couple of things in between times, but you might remember that we started off this book and considered that there were three tests that, as we consider them and examine our lives by them, are indicators or markers, signposts to help us know and have assurance that we are saved, and not only that, but that we're heading on the right track as Christians. And what we said, and what's important to remember again as a bit of a reminder, is that John writes this letter to give assurance. He says, "I write these things that you may know that you have eternal life." He doesn't say, "I'm writing these things, and when you examine yourself and you fall short and trip up, everyone's going to laugh, or you feel guilty, or you lack assurance," but the opposite. He writes trusting that they will pass the test. And as I present these sermons to you, I trust that as you look at your life, you will find that you pass the test. But where you see that in any way you're falling short, you might look to make the necessary adjustments that are helpful for us, that we would go deeper, that we would press on in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That we would find actually that our desire is not to do the bare minimum, but to do all that we can to show that we are his and that we seek to love him. And so the first week, the first test was the moral test. Do you keep the commandments? This week we're looking at the social test. But when we considered that first one, do you keep the commandments, I suppose this one, the social test, which is do you love other people, falls under that category, but we also want to look at it a little more closely. You see, we said that to keep the commandments, we have to keep them with integrity and out of love. We can't just say that we keep them, we have to actually keep them. It says, "He who says, I know him, but doesn't keep his commandments is actually not in him." So you cannot claim to be a Christian and then fail to keep the commandments. That was the first test. We said we can't merely claim to keep them, and neither is it enough that we merely know the commandments. Neither is it enough that we know we should keep the commandments. We have to actually keep the commandments. And we said that's all of them. And neither do we keep them in order that we would be saved, but because we are saved, we keep them. Because God calls us to be like him, and the commandments are themselves a reflection of the character of God, we seek to follow them because it will help us to live the way that he's called us to live. So there was much that we looked at last time. And we said, while we know we fall short, we have an advocate. We have forgiveness of sins through the Lord Jesus. But he's looking to our heart. And he's asking, do you want to keep the commandments? Do you aim to keep the commandments? Are you trying to keep the commandments? And so that's what we considered last time. And these are really important still as we consider this week the social test. How is it then that you can be sure that you are saved? How can you know that you're on the right track as a Christian? Well, it is by your love for one another. Your love for one another. So let me ask you then, do you love one another? Do you love others? We are told that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself. So here's the three things we're going to look at this morning. The first thing is that the command to love one another has been a command from the very beginning. But we're also going to look at, not only is it an old command, but it was confirmed and renewed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the final thing is that it is seen in the lives of his people. And so the first thing is that this is a command that has been from the beginning. So in 1 John chapter 2, verse 7, we read, "Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old one that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you heard." This commandment is the command to love one another. And it's a commandment that was given right back in the Old Testament. So it's not new to us. It shouldn't be new to any of us when we're told that we are to love one another, because God gave it right back in the very beginning to his people. Again, let me say, the commandments of God are a reflection of his character. Okay, so if the commandments of God are a reflection of his character, it's no surprise then that he commands us to love other people, because he himself is loving, is he not? And he's demonstrated his love. Love is one of God's greatest characteristics. He's a loving God. He's our loving heavenly Father. And God's people from the very beginning, they've seen his love. He delivered them. Time and time again, he forgives them and he keeps them and guides them, leads them, provides for them. He makes covenants with them. He binds himself to them. God is a loving God. So it's no surprise then that he says that we as his people also should love. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, from verse 6, it sums up this old commandment and an understanding that God loves us really very well. Deuteronomy chapter 7, from verse 6, it says, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and who keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. And he repays to their face those who hate him by destroying them. He will not be slack with one who hates him. He will repay him to his face. You shall therefore be careful to do the commandment and the statutes and the rules that I command you today." From the very beginning, God has been a loving God, choosing for himself a people, not from merit, but because of his love. It's the same with you and I. God loves you. This is love, not that we loved him, but that he first loved us and gave himself for us. Loving us while we were still far off. Loving us while we were still his enemies. He has loved us. We read also as an old commandment in the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 19. And in verse 18 it says, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." So the thing I think we can do is agree with what we read here in 1 John. This is no new command. This is not a surprise to us that we should be told that we are to love other people. But one of the things we need to start picking up on and thinking about as we go through the sermon this morning is what it means to love. What does that look like? What should that look like in our lives? Because if you look at this verse in Leviticus, it could be that you think to love means you do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people. Now, does the verse mean, as long as I do not seek revenge or bear a grudge, therefore I will have loved my neighbor? Because that to me would suggest that all I need to do is make sure not to hurt or offend my neighbor, and as long as I'm not doing that, well, then I've loved him. Or is it saying one of the ways that we love our neighbor is not to offend them or hurt them, so don't seek revenge, don't bear a grudge, but also love your neighbor as yourself? What does it mean to love? Is it simply that we don't offend people, do not hurt people? Or does it mean more than that? I think lots of people in this world would seek not to hurt their neighbor, not to offend their neighbor. But do they really love them? And so I think we have to ask, and you have to look at your life and consider whether or not truly you love your neighbor. In Matthew, we're told that the law and the prophets are summed up with these commandments, that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself. And so within the Ten Commandments, there are things there that we are told to do that will help us understand part of how it is that we are to love our neighbor. So we are not to steal. And so if you do not steal from your neighbor, then you will love them. So don't offend them, don't hurt them, don't cause offense by not stealing, and you will love them. Also says, don't commit adultery, or do not murder, or do not lie. So as long as you're not doing these things against your neighbor, then in some way, yes, you are showing love to them. But is that all that we are being asked to do? Make sure we do not offend or hurt our neighbor? Is that all we've got to do to love them, or does to love our neighbor look like something else? You've got to think about that. What would it look like in your life to actually love your neighbor? And do you do that? The old commandment says, love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Perhaps we even need to take time, and we won't do it right now, but you need to think, how is it that you love yourself? How do you love yourself? And therefore, how is it then that you should love your neighbor? In loving our children, none of the children said this morning, I'm surprised, but they never said, oh, whenever my dad gives me into trouble, I know he loves me. But I think we would understand that, do we not? Ailish has this wonderful habit at the moment that when she's finished her dinner, she likes to let us know by picking up anything that's left and flinging it. And she's astonishingly good at it. And it leaves the kitchen and finds its way into the living room or the dining room or downstairs little studio area. But we don't want her to do that. She needs to know. And so we try to speak firmly or do whatever we can in some way to discipline her. Because it is not right that she should be doing that. We want to teach our children right and wrong. We need to discipline them, and we do it because we love them. So what does it mean to love? What does it look like then if you are to love your neighbor? If you're loving your brother and sister in Christ, consider this. Do you love them enough to be walking with them through life and the things that they are facing? Will you weep when they weep, mourn when they mourn? Do you love and care about your Christian brother and sister enough to help them grow in their love for the Lord? That would be to love them, wouldn't it? If I really love you, I would want what is best for you, surely. And if I am convinced that what is best for you is to be growing in love for the Lord, then am I doing what I can to move you towards that? Are you doing that in your life? What about if our brothers and sisters are wandering and they're going off on the wrong track? Would we be willing to pull them up? Is that a loving thing to do you think? If you see your brother and sister in Christ wandering away, if you see them failing to keep the commandments, would you be willing to tell them or ask them what's going on? This is not what God wants. This is what God wants. This is what the Bible says. And I love you enough to say you need to stop that. Or you need to start doing this. What does love look like? What does it mean to love your neighbor? I think all of these things are important. And I pick these out particularly because I think what we can reduce love to are practical displays of love. So we make someone a meal, we're generous in some way towards them, we visit them when we're sick, we drive them somewhere when they need something, and these are good, and let us please continue to do these things, and more so. But I don't think we can reduce love simply to that. So love one another, but what does that look like? How do you love one another? There was a girl in the church in Tinoba. One of the young girls. And she used to write people letters. And most weeks, someone, at least in the church, would get a letter. And I kept a number that she wrote me, and she still, even now, writes to Nikki, tries to send Nikki a card or a letter every week. And she just says the most wonderful and encouraging things. And there's always scripture, and she always just points to the Lord Jesus. It's such a simple thing to do, but it was so encouraging, and she did it because she loved us and wanted to encourage us and always wanted to point us to Jesus. So what can you do? What are you doing? What do you need to do in order to love others? Do you think that to apologize to someone is to love them? How about that? Now, when you have hurt someone, or if there has been difficulty in the relationship, if they've hurt you, I think to go and to say sorry shows a desire for reconciliation. Does it not? It shows love. It says, I want to once again be in a right relationship with you. So to say sorry to her, apologize, actually could be a way for us to demonstrate love to one another. Love one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's not a new command. It's not a new command. It has been from the beginning that this should be the will of all God's people. And as we love like this, then people will know that we are God's children. It was read to us in John chapter 13 and in verse 35, and on the newsletter for this week as well, the verse at the top is this verse from John chapter 13. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. We're called to be a light in this world. And we can be that light by loving one another. People will see that you love one another and say they must be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they love one another. So do you love one another? We know this. We know it's expected and commanded of us. People, God's people have known this from the very beginning. It is not a new commandment. The second point is this. While it's not a new commandment, this command was confirmed and renewed by Jesus. See, John does something quite confusing. He says, I'm writing you no new commandment in verse 7 of chapter 2, but an old commandment. In verse 8 he says, at the same time, it is a new commandment. So what is it? Is it an old one or is it a new one? Love one another as I have loved you. Love one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. Is it old? Is it new? Is it both? What is it? Well, it's an old commandment because it's been there from the very beginning. But the second point I'm trying to say is that it is confirmed and renewed by Jesus. Jesus himself used this similar language here in John 13 on the screen. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. But we've just said it's not a new commandment. It's been there from the very beginning. So there's something in this second part of the verse then that must make it new. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, so you are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. It is confirmed and renewed in Jesus. You see, in Jesus, it is displayed to us how we are to love one another. So it is an old commandment that is given to us to love one another, but it is made new in and through Jesus because he himself exhibits and demonstrates to us what it means and what it looks like to love one another. As I have loved you, so you are to love one another. So here's a new commandment for you, everybody. Love one another as Jesus has loved you. Love one another as Jesus has loved you. And so I ask you then, do you love one another? How did Jesus love us? Look at these verses with the children. John chapter 3, verse 16. The Father sent his Son because he so loved us. And in 1 John 3:16, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. It's a new commandment. It's telling you the extent to which your love must be for one another. It tells you, look to Jesus who laid down his life for you. And that is therefore how it is that we ought to love one another. We are to lay down our lives for our brothers. Our love is to be sacrificial. It is not just don't offend, don't hurt. It is love. That love, if you are to lay down your life to me, means it must be active. It suggests that you are doing something. Is that how you are loving one another? So we're saying, do you love one another? Love your neighbor. But it's an important point, I think, to ask, well, who is my neighbor? Who am I to love? The first important question is, what does it mean to love? The second one is, well, who am I to love? Who is one another? Most of the letters that are written to Christians. And so we could very well take from that, of course, that we are to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, those that are gathered here this morning, that God puts us into fellowship we are to love. And a good case is made for that. And a good case is made, though, that we are especially to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. So in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So you are to love one another, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. When we read Matthew 25, the passage from verse 31 that speaks of the sheep and the goats, and it says there will be a separation on that final day, and it says that those who go and receive an inheritance in heaven are those who have loved. And there, Jesus says, whatever you did for one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Now, just as a little side point here, we considered last week why we keep the commandments. Do we do it out of love? And here, this verse would suggest that we keep the commandments, we would love others, because we're doing it as if we love the Lord Jesus himself. That should be part of our motivation, that we're loving Jesus as we are loving others. It shows our true heart towards the commandments. It says, whatever you did to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. We are especially to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And as we do that, it shows our love for Jesus. It's a signpost for us and a marker. Now, I reckon if that was all the Bible had to say, then that would be great, and that would be quite enough, thanks very much. If all I said is, all you've got to do is love other Christians, you would say, right, that's quite a lot, thanks. And there's plenty of them, and there's plenty of them who I find it very hard to love, actually. Maybe even more so than perhaps some folk who are not Christians. I find the Christians particularly difficult to love. The second point is that this old commandment is renewed and confirmed in Jesus. So we are to love as he loves. We are to love our brothers and sisters, as was also commanded in the Old Testament. But Jesus takes it and he expands it further. You remember when the man came to Jesus and said, who is my neighbor? The parable of the Good Samaritan, and it's described there in that story. You see, the man, we're told, seeks to justify himself and asks, well, who is my neighbor? And the neighbor would have been the man half dead in the gutter. And this hated Samaritan man showers his love upon this man half dead in the gutter. Jesus says we are to love all people, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ, but all people. You see, Jesus takes that old commandment, he confirms it and says, yes, you're to do that, and he renews it by saying we are to love like him, but also we are to love all people. Matthew 5, verse 43, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, so he's renewing this command, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So it's actually quite an important question to consider who you are to love. You're to love one another, your brothers and sisters. You're also to love your enemies. Jesus carries on in this little part in Matthew chapter 6 from verse 46. He says, for if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? He says, do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus expands the scope of our love, to love as he loved and gave himself for us, and to love all people, our brothers and sisters and even our enemies. We're not just to love those who only love us. This is a huge command. So while it was one thing to have a week where we said, do you keep the commandments? It's another thing, I think, to consider. Do you especially keep this command? Do you love one another? Let me then just finish. The final point is this. The command to love one another is seen in the lives of all God's people. Okay, the command to love one another is seen in the lives of all God's people. We said it last time, and that's why we're saying it again. The command to love one another, you must keep it. You must keep it with integrity and out of love. You've got to walk as Jesus walked. Keeping this command isn't optional. It's not pick and mix, multiple choice. Like I keep most of the rest, so that's all right. It doesn't matter if I do this one or not. It's not just enough that you know you should love others. You've actually got to love other people. That's how you will show that you are a Christian. That is how you can have assurance that you are saved and assurance that you're heading in the right direction. Because you actually do love other people. In 1 John 1 verse 4 says, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. It's not just enough to believe the commandments are good. It's not just enough to believe they're best for our lives. It's not just enough to know them. You actually have to do them. Like that illustration I used with the children, with Blondin, which I'm sure many of you have heard. I think these people were convinced this guy could do anything. But when he said, get in the wheelbarrow, then it showed that in fact they really didn't believe he could do it. They weren't willing to risk their own lives. And if you say, I know him, well, you need to show that you do know him by keeping the commandments and by loving one another. Don't be someone in the crowd shouting, yeah, you can do it, you're amazing, I believe you, I believe these commands are great, I believe they are best for my life, I believe I can have abundant life if I follow the commandments. Don't just shout it. Put it into practice. Do what it says. This commandment to love one another is seen in the lives of all God's people. Says to us in 1 John chapter 2 verse 10, whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for darkness. You know you're in the light if you love one another. You can have assurance. You can be certain you're on the right track, that you're in the light if you love one another. Where you lack, you'll have to consider and think through some of what has been said this morning. But you can also ask God to help you, and he will. Because here is also what is true. It's also quite hard, because this is a hard command to love one another, isn't it? Because loving people is just hard. They don't make it easy. But in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, God says that the spirit he gives us is not a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-discipline. All my excuses about self-discipline are out the window because I have a spirit within me that's a spirit of power, love, and self-control, self-discipline. The spirit within you enables you to love. So what naturally may be and definitely is a difficult thing to do, if you're truly walking with God, then the Spirit enables you. It is a spirit of love. God will help you to be faithful and obedient to his commandments. He doesn't just command you to do something and then leave you all on your own. He's given you all you need for life and godliness. And he's given you his Spirit, a Spirit of love. Some of you might well know the Calvin and Hobbes comic strip characters. And one of them, you'll see it on the screen as well, hopefully it's clear enough. Calvin says to Hobbes, "I feel bad that I called Susie names and hurt her feelings. I'm sorry I did it." Hobbes suggests, "Well, maybe you should apologize to her." Calvin ponders the advice and replies, "I'm hoping there's a less obvious solution." Very simple, but in a way, very helpful and profound for us this morning. Because I think many people understand that what has been asked of them and commanded is not easy. We would be far happier and are far happier doing other things. You want me to serve at church? I'll do it. You want me to put money in the collection plate? I'll do it. If all these things allow me to show love to God, I will do it. Is there not something else? Is there not a less obvious way? Do I have to actually love my neighbor, love my enemy, love one another? It is very clear that we have to be obedient to God's commandment here. By this, they will know that you are my disciples, by your love for one another. So clear to us. And we need to be faithful and obedient to it. It is impossible, this passage says, to hate your brother and be in the light. Perhaps for some of us, for some of you, you need to think of people that the relationship is not right and that something has to be done to try to put it right, in fact. That may well be what the Spirit of God would convict you about this morning. It says to be in the light means that we love one another. And again, we do not do these things to be saved. Excuse me, that verse in 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Do you love others? Do you know the extent to which God has loved you by sending Jesus? I think we need to pray and ask that God will give us a greater understanding of his love for us. Because as he does, it shows us how we are to love others and might compel us also then to love others, to love one another. Let me close there as we pray together.